La 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 la. La la la. La la la.
If you want to hear your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. They talk megabytes to petabytes and cover it all. They're the Gizmo.
And the Gizmo Sapiens Show 106. Matt is here with me today, and Panera and Brett, and you're going to hear a conversation behind us, which would be kind of interesting. But how to become a Mary Kay salesperson. Probably one of the most exciting things that's ever happened in our lives, Matt.
Just happened. What was that? Don't look at me. Blank face. It's scary.
There was a Star Trek movie in the JJ verse that didn't suck.
Well, I actually have liked all the JJ verse movies, but I think this one's definitely the best out of all the JJ verse movies. They keep getting better. They can't, in some respects, according to you, they can't get any worse. So.
Into Darkness was a really low bar.
Yeah, I mean, I actually understand a few things about what they've done to the JJ universe, because they believe, and this is the thing, the new demographic that they're trying to capture likes those movies, and I thought it was a great change to
switch from J.J. Abrams and his lens flare in every film,
and the fact that he likes to do movies that pretty much are the same movie that as another movie in the same franchise, but may change the names, characters, or the people who play the characters. So that's my reference to Star Wars Force Awakens. They basically took the first trilogy and created it
over again. We just did it one movie instead of three.
And I'm sure the next movie will be the first three, or the prequels.
All right.
So look for Jar Jar Binks and Battle Droids.
Awesome.
But I thought Justin Lin did a phenomenal job. And Simon Pegg did a great job writing. So it was a good balance of lots of action to keep you entertained and enough of the science fiction-y tech trek, you know, to keep the more cerebral Trek fans entertained as well.
I love the fact that,
you know, the USS Franklin was crash-landed on the planet.
The movie's been out for 2 weeks.
All spoilers. If you have not seen the movie at this point, turn off this podcast. No, forget it. Just listen to us. You don't need to go see it now.
One of the things that I thought was interesting, going back to Peg doing the writing, there was talk that Carl Urban wouldn't return as McCoy because he felt like Into Darkness, his character got pushed so far into the background that he just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, he definitely had a very token part in Into Darkness.
There was very little of the Kirk McCoy repartee that existed even in the 2009 Star Trek. We're going to refer to it as Prime Universe and Kelvin Universe. Kelvin being Kirk's father's ship, the USS Kelvin. And the fact that when the Prime Universe intersected the Kelvin Universe, that's when the Kelvin was destroyed and changed the timeline. And so the interesting part of that is that evidently Carl Urban got a lot of input
into dividing his character. I mean, he was integral in the movie at this point, or in Star Trek Beyond.
But I'll go back and say that out of all of the casting decisions that have been made about this new crew, he is the most like the original character. I mean, it's his portrayal is so much DeForest Kelly that
Oh, yeah. Even the way he says things, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is.
You never know he's from New Zealand.
Exactly. Southern Georgia drawl.
Well, and I love that. I mean, he's had some great lines even in the, you know, through this. So in 2009, when he's talking to Kirk on the shuttle to the Academy, and he goes, "I got a divorce and she took everything but my bones," you know.
I loved it. I love
that line. But, you know, I just thought it was a good twist. The way they did it, the villain was a good twist and beyond. Khan was, as much as I like Benedict Cumberbatch,
his portrayal of Khan.
It was like he took the character Sherlock and decided that Sherlock was going to be Khan. You know?
Well, again, I think the problem there is that J.J. wanted Benicio del Toro to play Khan.
Yeah.
And he wasn't having it. Now, I like Benedict as much as the next guy, but he is no Khan.
No.
Del Toro could have pulled that off a bit better, I think, than Benedict.
But I did love the Admiral Marcus and the fact that he was, what was the Admiral in Star Trek VI? Yeah, Cartwright. Marcus and Cartwright kind of flipped positions and all of that. And I'm glad that they didn't bring Carol Marcus forward as a main character in Beyond.
He or she may be coming back in 4.
That's okay.
I think if they had kept her on, it would have been awkward, you know. I don't know that she, at that point, blended with the cast enough. I also like the in Beyond how Kirk's character kind of
was philosophizing why he was a captain and
the fact that the 5-year mission was pretty boring. You know, they're in
year 3 of the 5-year mission, and he's like, and he said a great line written
by Simon Pegg. It seems very episodic. And, you know, it was kind of a throwback and a nod to TOS. And
I thought that was great. But
I just can't say enough about the movie. I thought it was phenomenal. I want to go back and see it in the movie theater again. And there's not many movies anymore that I want to go back and see. One, I want to go to the movie theater and see that I'm not willing to just wait for Netflix or Amazon or a DVD. But much less then go back and see again in the movie theater. And I would go see Beyond again.
Should we talk about Chekhov at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing is between the end of filming of Beyond and the premiere of Beyond, Anton Yelchin, who played Chekhov, was killed by his own car, and he was pinned to the gate at his residence by his car, and his friends found him hours, maybe almost a day later, I think, is what if I remember right. And so he's no longer going to be part of the Star Trek universe.
Now, what I thought was interesting is they're not going to recast it, which gives us an opportunity to bring in a new character, be it Ilea or Eryx or
Jayla.
That's one I think who might be a recurring character. Because you got the end of the movie. Scotty gets her a position to go to the Academy where she'll, I guess, continue to be another engineer. But she could do other stuff there. And and then, you know, they show at the very end of the movie, they show the rebuilding. Because if you haven't watched the previews, the Enterprise gets destroyed yet again. But a new Enterprise gets built. And what I did think was cool is where the Enterprise gets pretty much destroyed at the end of In a Darkness, the rebuilt Enterprise looks slightly different from the 2009 Enterprise, which was almost destroyed.
Seems like that's what they want to do every movie.
Yeah. So I'm assuming the new one will still have the basic Enterprise,
primary, secondary hull, you know, missiles that are out. But it will differ for us, at least visually to kind of show that evolution of the ship through the Kirk years. And that's one of the things that the technology of Star Trek is one of the things that's always fascinated me. You know, I got tired of the Enterprise A, B, C, D, and E, but the fact that there's other ships out there and other things. And what a lot of people forget is that the Prime universe and the Kelvin universe are the same universe prior to the Kelvin. Okay? So when people say that things took place in the Prime universe, well, if that took place before the Kelvin incident, then it's possible that you... Well, all of that exists in the Kelvin universe as well. And so that's I'm going to kind of shift phases here and talk about the new Star Trek TV series. That, and I will say this. They must have hired Apple to do their protection of the property. And that's why Apple has had leaks. Of course, nobody knows anything about the iPhone 7, so they must have got them back at this point. But they've done a phenomenal job totally hiding. I mean, no leaks, no nothing about Discovery, except what what they've released, you know. So they did that teaser trailer, back in March? Was it March or April?
It was a trailer of nothing. Right. I mean...
But it did lead. So if you watched all of credits for Beyond, that trailer was pulled from the credits. So the ending sequence in the credits ended up being that trailer, which tells me that as much as everybody wants to say that the new show Discovery is good, because that's one of the big rumors, is that it's going to take place in the Prime universe. It really doesn't take place in the Prime universe. It's just a common point with both the Prime and the Kelvin universe as you go forward towards,
you know, J.J. Trek and Next Generation.
So now we've got the new, and the show was, I forget what they called it. It was just Star Trek Next or something like that. And so a lot of people thought that the show was going to be, like every season was going to be a different ship and a different crew, and they might all exist contiguously, but it would not be in the same time. You know, they would jump around and all this. And that would be interesting, but I think it would be really hard to
cast and keep an audience's
attention over multiple seasons. And if they're going to do this, they're trying to go back, you know, in honor and do at least a 7-season run. They're not going to cut it short like they did Enterprise.
Yeah, but I'm going to call it the Babylon 5-ization of Star Trek. They're not going to do it episodically. They're going to do it with a larger arc this time, which I think is both good and bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you saw both of it, and depending on which season you watched of Enterprise.
Sure.
I think they probably... just some of the names that they've got attached to it, they've probably got a better chance of making that where you have...
I mean, one of the things that was always interesting, and so I'll use Star Trek Next Generation as a good example, is there were a lot of story arcs that were... they were not whole seasons, but they were across multiple episodes. But then there were sub-stories, you know, or subplots that were episodic. And I think that's where they kind of lost some of that in Enterprise during the second season, but they gained it back in the third, which is what killed me.
Well, and that's the influence of Manny Coto, who,
yeah,
let's face it, is a guy that knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And so I think there's a large chance of success, but in watching the new trailer, where now we know it's Discovery and the starship is the USS Discovery, and we know if you subscribe to the fact that the registration numbers on ships are serialized until they come to the 1701A, then this is prior to the creation of the Kelvin timeline, but after Enterprise.
So it's sometime in there.
And I would say that the architecture of the ship looks an awful lot like the USS Franklin from Star Trek Beyond, which was similar to an NX-class ship. So that being said, I would not discount that just because this is in the prime timeline, and I'm doing air quotes,
that
you won't see this discovery make appearances in, or, you know, information or whatever background in and further J.J. Trek movies or Kelvin timeline movies, particularly with Simon Pegg involved. My understanding is that he's also involved in the series and somewhat. He might be writing
some episodes, directing some episodes.
But what's killer about it is nobody knows who's who, cast, whatever.
There's been no news on cast at all. And if this thing's going to start airing in January...
They've already had to start filming.
There's been zero casting news.
Yeah.
I mean, we know nothing about who these people are going to be. Nothing.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like it's being done in a vacuum. Now, I'm happy for it because it's always fun to speculate, to prognosticate. And when you have, you know, when they leak out too much stuff, then it gets to be a little bit of a drag because there's no surprise at the end. And I'm sure we're going to get a little bit more information, but...
I'm hoping that CBS and Paramount keep it close to their vest so that...
It truly is a surprise, you know, on the day that you watch it.
The other thing that I thought was interesting about what CBS All Access is going to do with it is not release it all in one chunk.
Correct. It's going to be a weekly show.
Right, which I think is also both good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to... For me, those shows that are not episodic, I tend to want to just binge watch them all at once.
Yeah, that way you get the whole story arc.
You don't miss a lot of the details that you would miss week to week. I mean, like 24, I would love to watch 24 all in one batch. The day it came out on DVD, I was first in line.
Yeah.
I would be more inclined to do something like that with a show like this than, say, The Next Generation. Or, you know.
Yeah.
You're a lot more, if you have less cerebral contact to it, you're more inclined to tune in just to see what's happening next.
Yeah.
Versus having to, oh my God, do I got to sit through last week on Star Trek Discovery, and then you have to tell the whole story again before you can get to new stuff.
Yeah.
That's, I'm not as much interested in. But.
Well, I don't know that they're going to do that. You know, that...
They're slowly... A lot of TV production is getting away from that. You know, last week on the show, because now a lot of this is... The previous episodes are available online. So, you know, you missed last week, go watch it. You know? And I do think it's interesting. I think part of the reason CBS All Access is going to be doing that in a weekly... episodic chunk or whatever we want to call it, not release the whole series, is because they're also going to they are going to show it on air on CBS.
The first one. Everything after the first one is exclusively on Access if you buy that.
It'll be elsewhere.
Which I'm not sure that I do.
Yeah.
I mean, CBS is sinking a lot into All Access.
Yes.
And it makes sense to make the flagship. But we've seen this before. UPN, exactly. You know exactly where I was going with that. It's a gamble.
It is.
But, you know, I will say this. CBS has been really careful about their... how they've portrayed this. They've been careful about the subscription cost for CBS All Access. I mean, it's a nit.
You know, frankly,
one of the things I've always hated about cable TV was that I was forced to buy, you know, I wanted 10 channels on cable, and I was forced to buy an extra 70 that I never watched nor wanted, but I got charged for. And CBS All Access and Hulu and Amazon you know, like, I could care less if I ever saw an ESPN station in my life. I like sports, but I don't want to watch them like that. And I have other people who that's all they watch. Their TV never goes to anything but ESPN. If there really was an ESPN, the Ocho, I might watch a little more. But
But you know, I would
pay the $4.99 a month to watch Trek. I'd be able to watch, you know.
Why would you pay $6.99 a month? If I'm not mistaken, the entry is $5.95, I think.
I don't know.
A buck, something like that?
For me, a buck is kind of a nit, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I can watch NCIS 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're going to get all that with CBS All Access. It's not just Trek. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, you're going to get everything.
Well, the other thing that I would be interested in really hearing more about is what other original programming is going to be All Access exclusive.
Yeah.
I mean, so far I haven't really heard much of anything other than this.
Read our facts. I'm at the CBS All Access website if you haven't figured out.
I tell people all the time when they start the business.
But you know, if you let's see,
so
how much does CBS All Access cost? It is $5.99 a month. I don't know. I can live with that. $5-6 a month, you know, that's all you pay. Well, I pay a little bit more for that for Amazon or for Netflix, and that's about what I pay for Hulu. But you know, I don't have cable TV anymore. The only thing I get from the cable company is my internet access. So
then when you really, because you're really talking about internet access and this is an add-on to that, I mean, that's... Is that how you want to do your TV?
Absolutely. Because then I have access to it on all my devices, wherever I'm at, you know. And
you're not paying for what you don't want.
I'm not paying for what I don't want.
That, to me, is the key.
Yeah.
Can you grab that TV? I mean, I would find... I would really like Marvel to do that.
Well, that would be
awfully difficult now because
they're owned by ABC.
Well, not only that, but I mean, if they want to take the whole Marvel thing and jump it onto ABC, do that.
Yeah.
But because if this CBS thing works out, I see ABC doing it.
Yeah. Well, see, ABC and NBC, though, hitched
their caboose to Hulu. So a lot, I mean, almost everything they have, even a lot of CBS content is available on Hulu. And, you know, but the thing that's going to be key to a lot of this is, and it's where I think CBS All Access is kind of the first major... major network to do this is bring exclusive content, because Netflix and Amazon, they've got phenomenal shows that are just that. And we will bring this back to Star Trek, but this is actually a good aside.
But like Stranger Things on Amazon,
phenomenal content. If you have not watched that yet, go watch it. It's like 10 episodes max. Just sit down with Tracy one night and binge watch it. But Man in the High Castle on Amazon.
That was fabulous.
It's fabulous. And, you know, I sit here and, because they just sent me an email saying, hey, it's coming back December 16th. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
I know what I'm doing over Christmas break.
And I was surprised at how good it was, because I was not expecting much.
Yeah.
And what I got out of that was amazing. If they keep the quality like that, I think this is what I fear about Discovery, is that it's going to suck. Yeah, that second trailer, the one that showed off the ship, I was not overly impressed with. That looked like pre-Babylon 5 on the Amiga. It looked horrible. Exactly. You know, I mean, it was not... I was not impressed.
So I watched it several times, and
I was actually pretty impressed by it. I'm not sold on the Delta Wing concept, but that was actually something they were looking to do back when, after Star Trek The Motion Picture, when they were thinking about doing another series. That was, you know, the ship kind of looked like that.
Well, the refit was, yeah. That was one of the concept drawings for the refit.
Yeah. But what I liked about it, and where I think that's why, because I paid a really close attention, and I paused it and looked at it, is that it looks to be the same timeline as the Franklin. So it's just after the, you know, probably months after the last episode, or maybe even a year or so after the last episode of Enterprise, when you, you know, which in the flash forward where, you know, they create the Federation, and Archer's talking about that. Because that's also the time period of the Franklin from Star Trek Beyond. And I think that's how they're tying all the... One of the things I think is interesting is they're tying it all together. Because the architecture of the ship, it's just a bigger ship than the Franklin was. You know? And so I'm wondering if you're going to see some of the similar issues, like where they took Mako's because they no longer needed...
Military Assault Command, they turned their colonels into captains of ships and
other officers aboard the ship. If we're going to see former Mako's now as Starfleet officers, you know, are we going to see like the beginnings of, and you kind of have to take Enterprise out of it, because that was a unique situation in the Trek history, you know, that you had a Vulcan and a Denobulan, you know, as regular crew on a starship. But, you know, are we going to see the beginnings of them trying to integrate the crews, you know? And it may not be Vulcans and Denobulans. It might be something else.
And
you know, the Prime Directive and all that stuff won't be fleshed out. So there's an opportunity to continue the what I loved about Enterprise, which was the fact that they were winging it a lot of times,
you know,
but also still have the history and the tie back to the full Trek universe without, you know, being constrained, but necessarily by all the same rules that we've seen over and over again with Next Gen and Deep Space and Voyager, and, you know, and then the movies.
Yes, I know. I mean, I like the winging it. What's the word I'm looking for? It's you have no idea what's going to happen next.
Yeah,
I like that. What I don't like about that is that anything can happen, and usually does.
Yeah.
Much to the detriment, because you're screaming at the TV. You know,
yeah.
Seriously, Archer, you're going to do this again? Did we not pay attention to the last episode? Yeah, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. Well, I think it might have a little more structure than that, but I mean, what I'm saying is more of a continuation, so that there's not this gap. I think that's one of the things they're trying to fill in is this gap. And, you know, and maybe the rumors are true. Maybe Discovery, it might be this about the Starship Discovery, but it might be season to season. And the reason we don't know about the casting is because they're right now, it's a totally unknown cast. And there's no reason to say anything because they're really shooting for season two.
So when this is somewhat popular,
you know, we're going to jump 200 years ahead in the future to another Starship Discovery. And, you know, and we're going to have real movie actors, you know, wanting to portray for a season some character. The other thing that I'm hoping they do, which is very rare in the Trek universe, because even if you die in Star Trek, there's very likely chance that you're not dead. Kirk, Spock, Tucker, you know.
But is that, you know, they might
be a little bit more Game of Thrones like, and might be willing to kill off a main character, you know.
Well, not that that's not unprecedented. You got Yar, you got Jadzia.
Yeah, but he killed Yar, and she came back as her own daughter. I mean, or she came back as the alternate timeline Yar. Or, you know, and Jadzia didn't really die because her symbiont lived on in
Ezra. You know,
I don't know. I just... The other thing about casting, before we move off of that, I would be jazzed about a cast of nobodies.
Oh, I would too. That'd be awesome.
Because, quite frankly...
Well, that's part of the thing I loved about Enterprise, was other than Archer or Scott Bakula, everybody was a nobody at that time.
Yeah.
You're pretty much nobody today, but aside,
Connor Trinneer is
well, he was a theater actor.
Done a lot.
Yeah.
As a, you know, walk on.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, none of the rest of them are. Julian Blalick was a model, still is, near as I can tell.
She's kind of settled down
and had kids and doing the mom thing. But it wasn't like Next Gen, you know, where you had Patrick Stewart and LeVar Burton as two big names just in the crew. And then if you were into theater and stuff, you knew about Jonathan Frakes, you knew about
Brent Spiner,
Gates McFadden. I mean, they were all big in the, you know, so they, you know, they were known names. It wasn't, and you know, it got worse as we went down the thing, you know, with Deep Space Nine and Voyager. Voyager's crew, almost everybody was known actor at that point.
So let me ask you about Nathan Fillion.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've heard that there's been some campaigning done to bring him on as the captain.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. It seems highly unlikely.
Because you know what it would be? The problem is it would be a combination of Castle and Mal Reynolds being the captain of the Discovery. Which would be awesome.
I wonder if you were by his brown coat.
His uniform will be brown.
Yeah.
I reckon. Shiny.
Now that would be hilarious.
Yeah, Mike, what is his name? Was it Michael J. Moore? Who's the guy who did Firefly?
That guy.
Yeah.
Why?
Moore.
No, because he did Buffy and he did all the other stuff too. Why is his name?
If you can't tell, we can't remember.
I can even see dude's face.
I can too.
It's just like me.
That's what I love about this show is the pregnant pauses while we look stuff up and we should already know.
People are going,
they need to turn in their geek cards.
Mine's an AARP geek card now. Not really, I'm not that old. But Josh.
Yeah.
I can't even think of that name.
So they did all the Marvel stuff too.
Yeah, Moore did Battlestar Galactica, that's what it is. And then, yeah, and then Straczynski did...
And Ron Moore, I'd like to see him come back to Trek.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of work on, was that DS9 or was that Voyager? He came on during the later parts of Next Gen. But
so now that we've looked Ron Moore up,
we realized he was co-producer of 52 episodes of Next Gen, co-producer of 64 episodes of DS9. He only did two episodes of Voyager, but he wrote First Contact and Generations, so he's pretty tied into the Star Trek mythos. So, it'd be cool to have him come back, but maybe not, too.
Well, yeah, then there's...
You don't want the been there, done there. But then again,
we don't want any more lens flare, either. The funny thing is every time I say that, all I can see is that opening sequence of the Kelvin and Star Trek 2009, and the first thing that happens is they're panning around the ship as the sun comes in and there's a lens flare.
I'm surprised there wasn't one in the Star Trek Discovery.
Well, I think they got enough grief that even JJ was like, I gotta stop this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But I don't know. It's been a long time since I've really been excited for a show on television. And this has kind of brought that back for me.
Have you guys loved and seen Mary-Kate?
Me too. I think
I use the word television in the loosest sense too. Because
I'm going to take another aside here after your next comment. No,
take your comment first.
Well, no, because I was going to go back even further to what bugged me about Beyond.
Oh. So the kicker is, so you notice that televisions now
are being sold without tuners?
Yes. So they're just giant monitors that you hang on the wall
with HDMI inputs, which is what I've been saying they should be doing for years, because why should you need a tuner if you call the cable company and what they give you is a cable box? And you have to have a cable box now to watch over-the-air television on your TV.
You know,
so that being said, that was my aside. I'm using television in the loosest term possible because I don't like commercials, and that's why I gravitate towards things like Hulu. And even though Hulu has commercials, they're like 15 seconds apiece, and there's no commercials on Amazon or Netflix. You know, in that sense, USA could actually learn. U.S. television companies could learn from the British, and I do understand that television in Great Britain is run by the government, but the VAT tax that you pay on your each TV in your household is a subscription for commercial-free television for a year.
And you can't tell me they don't make some good television, because I love Doctor Who and Sherlock
and Gadget Man you know, there's innumerable shows that had really high production and value.
I love Spooks back in the day. Yeah. They've kind of gone to movies now, I think.
You know, Top Gear. So, you know, there is precedent for not having commercials. Okay, now go back to your Beyond thing. So I have my aside done.
So let's talk about things that bugged us about this movie. Because for me, what bugged me was we're into year 3, the 5-year mission. The ship is incredibly bright white.
Yeah.
That bugged me. From a continuity point of view, that bugged me.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like, holy crap, who's the janitorial staff? I mean, because the ship is bright white.
Ever since...
One of the things I loved about 2009 Star Trek and Insurrection was that the engine room actually looked like an industrial plant, and just what an engine room on a real naval vessel looks like.
Yeah, but in 2009, it was an engine room in a brewery in St. Louis. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Couldn't we?
But it looked. It didn't look pristine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unlike like the next gen,
but the rest of the ship did, which was amazing.
The rest of the ship looks like an Apple store.
I expect to go in there and people in the Genius Bar shirts. Yeah, I agree with you.
The bridge was ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you. In Beyond, well, it's not just white; it's glossy white.
Yeah, where are the fingerprints as people walk down the hallways and? You know.
Seriously, they must have Roombas that climb inside the walls.
We do.
I mean, and then I'll
add you to But
yeah, I mean, I can get over that. I just think that's part of the, you know, like the phasers were silver in 2009. They at least looked more like used. And what I did love is, because I've always loved the props. I like the, you know, and my kids are into cosplay and stuff like that. So we look them up and build props. And
the phaser from the Franklin.
It was one of the things I loved about Enterprise was the phase pistol. You know, it looked like a pistol. And you could see where its evolution came to the phaser in original Trek.
Right.
And we're seeing that. We're seeing a really good continuity in the Kelvin universe from that. But I loved the, because Kirk has one of the newer phasers, which was not shiny anymore.
Right.
And then Spock had one, and they're side by side, but one from the Franklin. And you could see the differences in the construction and how they, and I thought that was really cool. The other thing I thought was cool, although I did find it kind of strange, is the transporter on the Franklin. So there, part of it bugged me.
Part of it I thought was cool. I loved the effect and the fact that it made funny noises because it didn't quite
work right, but they were using it anyway. But the fact that they were beaming like 90 people at a time into this tiny little ship and nobody was hitting their elbows on anybody.
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bugged me too. Because first of all, six pads, six people.
Yeah.
We're now beaming up 90 at a time.
It was
okay.
Like a cargo transporter.
Sure.
And I love how they kind of played it off. And I'm sure this was something that Simon Pegg was told for continuity of the movie. Just
make up a line.
Sure.
You know, which is, yeah, I adjusted it a little bit. That's
yeah, that bugged me.
Yeah, the other thing that kind of bugged me is
in the original Trek movies, when they show Starbase One, it is a beautiful construction.
Yeah.
I mean, and
Yorktown base.
This Yorktown
base. Bizarre.
It did. Well,
the fact that it was like a Dyson sphere, but it was clear. And, I mean, it is, and you know, that the cities were built on all these spires, and there was microgravity, and it was at different angles depending on where you were in the sphere, and the way the ships came in to dock, I thought that was strange. And you know, whereas when, like, you know, the Enterprise comes in to Starbase One and the Excelsior sitting, and I mean, the Excelsior's a distance away, showing the scale of this Starbase. And, you know, they fly the Enterprise into Yorktown, and it's almost touching the walls. You know, I'm like, I don't know that I like
it. Did not design this facility with this in mind?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No, it's... Yeah, that bugged me, too.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I struggled with in Beyond.
But for the most part, I love the movie. I thought they did a good job developing the relationships between characters like Spock and McCoy, Kirk and Chekhov, Kirk, Chekhov, and Scotty. You know, I loved the Jayla character. I really did. I thought she kind of added to it, and I think the intention was to make her a future part of the crew. But
well, you'll notice in the posters that she takes the spot of Ilea.
Yes, she does.
Which, you know, we discussed that earlier. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, I could have done without Ilea in the motion picture.
And I know she was an integral part of the, you know, she was the speaker for V'ger, but...
Well, let's not forget that that whole thing was supposed to be a whole new show. And she was going to be a series regular.
I know. Decker and
yeah.
Captain Decker and Commander Decker. The O'Brien promotion. You're going to start out as lieutenant in the show, and in subsequent episodes, we're going to slowly lower your rank down to chief.
Actually, I think they lowered it
below chief, and then they brought him back up. But
that's what happens when you lose your spot on the bridge and get banished to transporter room 3.
That's right. Well, I think that
about wraps everything up. Do you have anything left to add?
The other thing that I liked about Beyond was how they handled Leonard Nimoy.
I did too. And I love that
kind of nod to the Prime Timeline crew where Kelvin Spock gets his After Effects, and there's that picture from Undiscovered Country in there of the crew.
Right. No, and the other thing is this is the 50th anniversary, and I think nods like that are expected at this point.
But I thought it was well done.
Yeah, it was. It was very well done. They could have cheesified it, and that would have really cheapened it. But I felt like Prime Spock's death affected
the Kelvin.
Yeah.
Well, and what I thought was, you know, it's kind of interesting about the picture when they show it, because there's only three of those crew members left alive.
Nichelle Nichols, William Shatner, and
Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov. You know, and it is kind of ironic that Koenig is still alive and Anton Yelchin is not.
He had a heart attack at like our age.
Exactly.
You know, I never expected him to finish Bester on B5, let alone.
Oh, yeah.
And carry on to do all the stuff he's done.
Well, now they're doing that whole Renegades thing, which they can't call Star Trek anymore. Don't ask.
That's another episode in and of itself. But, well, we want to hear from you guys out there in the podcast-averse or internet-erati. So please send us audio, video, text to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. Or visit our blog at www.gizmosapiens.com and leave a comment on the episode. Or, and
I guess we'll see you on the digital flip side.
You've been listening to Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.